and
I think I struggle like everybody, and a lot of the motivational type things that, like you're talking about, like for bigger people and to body image and to overcome that self, I'm posting that for myself as much as for anybody else. I'm definitely not, you know, I'm a work in progress at trying to accept myself and to not think that others are judging me. I definitely do feel that others are looking at me, and I assume the worst always.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, thank you a lot for joining me. This is Eric Dieter. The show is Trail Talk. This is a special episode of Trail Talk because most of the time, if we're on Facebook, I'm doing this live. But because I'm talking to somebody who's on the other side of the world, we are recording this on Zoom, and I'm going to save it for later. It's also going to be part of the podcast, the Trail Talk podcast. So I'll edit that for the podcast. My guest is Pauline Christie, and I hope I got your last name right, Pauline. I found Pauline as I started following her on Instagram. Her Instagram is Fat to 5 Kilometers, and also on Facebook. She posts a lot of inspiring things. I read her story, and it's a story that I would like for her to share live with you all here. And so I wanted her to get a little bit bigger audience, because I'm inspired by what she had to say and looking forward to this. As you know, this show, Trail Talk, is a virtual run, as if we would get together and run a few miles on the trail and talk. And we, most of us, Pauline and I were talking earlier before we started, that if we talk and run, we're usually going at a pretty slow pace. And I'm right in there with her. So this is a virtual trail run. And welcome to the show, Pauline. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And okay, and I said you're halfway around the world. Tell me where you live.
I'm in Australia, so the Queensland, on the edge, on the coast of Australia, so a little bit ways.
yeah, and we had a little bit of a challenge in I forgot that you know, the time, I got the time difference, but the fact that the time was actually in two separate days, and so the day I was talking about was a different day than, you know, I had the time right, but we were on different days, so we finally got it together, and we're here. So welcome to the show, Pauline. I always try to start out with getting a little bit of background. Tell a little bit about yourself. I mean, as if we were headed out on the trail and just wanting to get introduced. Tell a little bit about who you are and how you started running.
Well, as you said, my name is Pauline. I'm 45 and I'm married with 3 kids. I'm a nurse in psychiatric nursing. I've done that my whole adult life. Been with my husband since grade 12, so we're like, you know, high school sweethearts, and neither of us were runners by any means. I was always a regular walker. My husband really wasn't that interested in exercise of any sort. He's naturally built like a whippet, the lucky thing, so he doesn't have to worry.
I've not heard that, built like a whippet. You know, I mean, that's a good, that's
right.
A
right. He's lean and fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was somebody who's always done a lot of walking over the years, but I've always had this interest in running. I can remember being a teenager, for example, and reading this novel, I don't know, some high school novel thing, and the main character in that was a runner. And even looking back now, I remember at that time thinking, I want to be a runner, and I went out a few afternoons with my dog and, you know, probably went too hard, too fast, couldn't do it and gave up. But that sort of stuck with me, I think, over the years. And it was something I always thought, I wish I could, I wish I did, I wish I start. But I've always been quite overweight, so it was something I thought the two couldn't go together. You know, I thought I'd have to lose weight and then I could run. Or I also thought if I started running, I would lose weight. Turns out the two aren't really that related. And so, yeah, I was doing lots of regular walking, like half an hour, 2 hour walks all the time. And I just decided one day, look, I'm just going to run to the next light pole. And I probably made 10 meters at the most, and I was, you know, out of breath, and it was awful. But, you know, the next walk I tried to run 11 meters and the next walk 12 meters. And it took, I sort of formed this goal that I wanted to be able to run 5 kilometers. And around about that same time, coincidentally, my husband discovered parkrun, even though, as I said, he'd never been an exerciser, and he decided he wanted to run. And we both really got into parkrun and we went every week. And being at parkrun, I think I was surrounded by all these people of all ages and all sizes, and they were running past me every week. And I think that was really what changed things for me. I thought, well, if they can run, I can run. And it was been a long process ever since then trying to run, and I'm still trying. It took me about a year, it was, before I ran my first 5K nonstop. But just didn't give up and just kept building on it slowly and still trying to get better at it.
For those of us who are in America, I know I've heard the term park run from people who live in England, and but that's not something, you know, at least in my, in our part of America, that are familiar with what a park run is. So could you kind of give us a?
Yeah, I didn't realize you guys didn't have it. So it is something, as you said, that's in lots of countries in the world. It's just a free timed 5 kilometer community run or walk every Saturday morning. It's 7 a.m. ours is every Saturday. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no medals or anything like that. But you get the barcode, you turn up, they say go. When you come back, you scan your barcode and it counts how many park runs you've done, and you know, your time comes up on the website or whatever. But on the day, there's nothing that announces how fast or slow you were. And you know, mums go with prams, fast runners race at the front, people walk dogs at the back. It's just a regular weekly 5 kilometer event that's free for anybody in the community to join into.
Okay, and it may be that that is an event that they have here in the United States, but I am not familiar with. It's not something I've heard mentioned, at least in among the American runners.
I must say, before I found it or started it, I had no idea it was in my town for years and years and years, and it was always been in the same spot, but I guess I wasn't in that area every Saturday morning. And then now, once you know it, you hear it everywhere. So yeah.
Well, and you know, there's a running group called the Hashers, Hash Running is what they call themselves. Okay. And I found out about that. I mean, that's a whole other group of runners that they've got their own kind of culture. I've heard weird things about them. I'm not fully versed on everything running, I've not encountered those events here in the United States, but I've heard it from other people. So it's kind of tracked, so you can track your progress each week as you participate.
Yeah, so you've got your login, and they celebrate what they call milestones. So when you've done 25 park runs, they give you a little clap, and when you've done, and there's a t-shirt, and when you've done 50, you qualify for the next colored t-shirt that's red. And when you've done 100, you get your black t-shirt. And then that's about it after 100. But my husband and I have both done about 150, I think.
Wow.
We took our kids. You know, early on the kids were in the pram. Later on they would run a bit themselves. And it's just something that we committed to doing every single week. And, I mean, there's times I didn't want to get 3 kids out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to get to park run. But great way to start the weekend, and I think a great example for them. And it really showed me that anybody and everybody could run if they choose to. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, when did you start? You said you've been running for a while. When did this all take place? And
probably started around 3 years ago now, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I said, that first build up took nearly the best part of a year. I think the first, it took me about 10 months to run 3 kilometres. Mm-hmm. And I think from that, that was all like, oh, you know, I've got to get there. But something clicked at about 3 when I realised the rest of it was really in my head and not my body, and that I just had to just keep going, and I actually could just keep going. So that last bit was much quicker. Yeah.
Well, and I think it doesn't matter what distance it is. Proportionally, if you were in a 5 kilometer race, if you'd run 3 kilometers, that's where the mental game starts coming. If you're running a 5K, and you know, the longer the distance, you still at about that point in the run.
Exactly.
Your mind starts working, and it just, so I tell people, you know, my my focus is on ultra marathon running, but you know, the mindset is the same. It doesn't matter how far you're running. You still have to have that same mindset. And yeah. You know, if for me to run, I don't really get warmed up until I've gone 5 kilometers. So, so if I were going to do a 5 kilometer run, I would struggle because, you know, I'd go out fast that first mile and it's just like, I'm not, you know, usually my first mile, I'm walking half of it just because, you know, I'm trying to get my body warmed up. And when I'm running with a group and have to go out running fast, it's just, it's that first mile is tough.
Yep. It's like, trust the first mile, right?
Yeah, it's always, and you know, the same thing for you. I mean, if you're running the park, now you said the park run is 5 kilometers or three?
Five. So first did my very first one, that took me 1 hour and 4 minutes to finish. And that would have been all walking, I think, back at the start. Mm-hmm. And now it always gives you your park run PB. So I think my park run PB is 39 minutes and 50 seconds. So around about 24, 25 minutes, I took off over 150 park runs. But
wow, yeah, that's...
Yeah, of course, the fast runners, the records are like, you know, 17, 18, 19 minutes. But yeah. Trying to get that's not me.
Even when I was young, that wasn't in my wasn't in what I was able to do. But you've I also kind of read your story. You've run some longer runs as well.
I've done 3 half marathons and 1 marathon. But I always did like interval run, walk, run for those really long distances. I've sort of never mastered a continuous non-stop run for more than about, I think, 12 kilometers is still my longest. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of discovered the Jeff Galloway sort of idea of running and walking intervals. And I just found, I just enjoyed it more. You know, mm-hmm. one half of my brain says, oh, it's not really running because you're taking all these breaks. And the other half says, but I'm enjoying it and I'm still out here running and I enjoy the walk breaks and then I enjoy running again. And so I'm just doing what I enjoy. But to complete those longer events, I definitely did the run, walk, run.
Uh-huh. So yeah. did you read the statistics that I think the Galloway method, I don't know if it was in his book or whatever, but that for half marathon for average runners or, you know, people, you know, the elites who are, you know, the ones who have the records in the park runs,
yep.
You know, they won't increase their time, but for average runners, the run walk method actually gets you there faster.
Yeah, that's right. It does for a lot of people. And you know, whatever works for others, they would never dream of taking the walk break, but I just mm-hmm. do me. And yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask this, where did the idea come from that if you're not running the whole thing, you're not really doing it right?
I think that's definitely just that little voice on my shoulder saying, you know, I think because I spent, you know, that year trying to build to that 5 kilometers nonstop, mm-hmm. that when I started to take these breaks, I don't know, I think it's probably just my inner voice saying, oh, you know, you're not doing very well anymore, or you're having these breaks. And certainly I have encountered some people, some other runners who look sort of down their nose, I guess, for better description, on people who do take the walk breaks. But, you know, what they think of me is none of my business. I don't care. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And if I'm out there run walking, it's better than not being out there at all, I figure. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I've heard that attitude on some of the Facebook running groups that I'm part of. I hear people express that same thing. They said, well, I'm not really a runner because I have to walk sometimes. And it's, you know, it's, and other people then will come in and say, it's, you know, it's not about, you know, don't worry about whether you're a real runner. If you run, you're a runner, you know, and do what, like you said, do what works for you and what makes you feel good.
And I think I found too, that if I want to, like I was doing the run walk thing solidly for about a year, and then I did a 10K event locally. And I hadn't run solidly like 10Ks for that whole year, but on the event day, I did it without a break because I wanted to and I decided I would. And so, you know, on that side, I know that I can still run, you know, mentally if I just keep going, I can keep going. So mm-hmm. I try to quiet that other sort of negative inner voice that tells me bad things and, you know, just doing what I can do on the day.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I'm a part of a trail running group, and a couple that we call them the enablers. They are the ones who will convince you to run this. I mean, like, sure, you can go do that. they were the ones that after I, you know, they were the ones that talked me into doing 100 mile on gravel last year. And I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Well, I say I'm never doing that again, but it's like, no, gravel, I don't like running on gravel. But they had trained for triathlon. And okay. So they ended up going down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the swimming part was canceled because the river was at flood stage, and so they weren't able to swim in the river. But they bicycled and then did the marathon. Yeah. And the woman of the couple, you know, we're trail runners, walk. I mean, that's like, we don't have this because the trails, I mean, you run into hills, there's, I mean, unless you're really, really good, you're not running up the hills.
Yeah.
And so she was tired. And so most trail runners have a pretty fast walk. And so she was walking up the hills in the marathon faster than the runners were running up them. So the runners were kind of looking like, yeah, you're walking, but yeah. So it's, yeah, there is this stigma about walking in the running community. And for a lot of runners I've seen, it's really almost a psychological barrier that you feel like you're less of a runner because you have to walk some of it.
Yeah. And I think too that, you know, if you're following Galloway, whatever, you're supposed to start those breaks from the very start. So, you know, the race has just begun and everyone's really running and you've got to be the one that pulls over and kind of starts walking, and you think, I've only been going for a kilometer, but the whole principle is, you know, start those breaks from the get-go and so that you don't get overly fatigued and that. But yeah, there's a definite feeling of, particularly in a public event, like, you know, she's only just started, and maybe I project that onto other people because of how I look, and I think, oh, they think, you know, she's already stopped, that big girl over there or whatever, but I'm a work in progress
with my head. Now, you've talked, I've seen some of the posts that you've given, and I'm sure I've not looked at your numbers as far as who's following you, but you give a lot of encouragement to especially women on Facebook and Instagram about body image. So how have you been able to, you know, you mentioned that just a minute ago of how other people look at you. How do you handle that as you go out
I struggle like everybody, and a lot of the motivational type things that, like, you're talking about, like for bigger people and to body image and to overcome that self, I'm posting that for myself as much as for anybody else. I'm definitely not, you know, I'm a work in progress at trying to accept myself and to not think that others are judging me. I definitely do feel that others are looking at me, and I assume the worst always. Mm-hmm. And so I'm often surprised when somebody might, you know, approach me and I think they're going to say something bad and they say something nice, or, you know, even like yourself, when you wanted to do this podcast, I'm like, but, you know, I'm not a good runner and I can't run. And, you know, I do still, it's something I struggle with all the time. I think when you've spent most of your life being the biggest person in the room, or not being able to do things, or I've avoided so much of my life up to this point because of how I perceive others judge me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to get rid of all that baggage. And so the motivational stuff in that regard that I post is for other people like me who are feeling the same, and something might resonate with somebody one day and help them. And that's what occasionally I'm told, which is lovely. So,
well, and you said that you do translate people's looks, that they actually do. There are a few people who are rude and say things that are, are hurtful.
Sure. For sure. But initially when I first started this running, I would only do it. I would never have dreamt of doing like a park run or an event where people could look at me. I would go out very early in the morning to run, or around dark time. I'd choose areas that were very quiet and, you know, no people around for that reason. And, you know, I always ran in long sleeve shirts for a start, for the starters, like, I mean, fully long sleeve shirts. Mm-hmm. things like that. I had so many things that I wouldn't do because I was so worried about people seeing me or looking at me running. And I got to the point, I guess, maybe about a year in, where I thought, you know, if they're going to judge me, they're going to judge me anyway. And better they see me out running down the street than sitting at McDonald's eating a burger sort of thing. You know, if they're going to see me running and judge that, well, so be it. That's out of my control, but at least I'm out there doing something. And I work really hard all the time to overcome that urge that I still have to hide away and not do things at certain times. And, you know, when I first joined the gym, that was huge for me. When I first, you know, did my first aqua class or my first spin class or all these things that were first for me, had all these fears, all really based around people looking at me or whether I could finish it or do whatever it was. And I'm getting better at just doing it anyway. That whole face your fear and do it anyway is a really big thing for me. Just acknowledge that I'm scared of it, or, you know, that I feel uncomfortable. And at the end, I know that I almost always go, well, that wasn't so bad. So I try to remind myself that at the end, I'll say that wasn't so bad.
So for people who are people, what would you say to people as a way to be able to support you? I mean, the typical runner who's, you know, like your husband as a, you know, looks like a whippet and runs fast. what would be a helpful way? Because I mean, a lot of people, you know, try to be encouraging. I try to encourage other runners, and I know that sometimes you say things in a way, you know, I can say things in a way that I mean it one way and the person on the other end receives
definitely. It. So, I know what you mean. I've had people say stuff that's kind of like, I get the impression they think it's the first time I'm ever out there trying to do it, or they think, oh, look at you, you've nearly finished a 5K or something. And I feel like saying, you know, I've done a lot longer than that, but they really do mean the best. Or some people make comments about how I'm going to lose all this weight because I'm running past them or something. And I think most of the time they do mean the right thing. It just sort of comes off differently.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't really know what the answer is of how people, other runners support. I mean, I guess that's one thing that I didn't expect, is that the running community already is really supportive. You know, I've never had another runner tell me to get out the way or to go home or whatever, even though it might come out the wrong way what they say. They genuinely are so supportive and inclusive of everybody of every size, and even the fastest ones will encourage me. I had this one event that I did a half marathon at recently, I think it was last year, and I was just coming up to the finishing chute and the winner of the marathon overtook me. So it was a lady who was in first place. Mm-hmm. So she was finishing her marathon a minute or so before I was finishing my half marathon. And when she finished, she came back down the road and stood there and applauded me to finish. And I remember thinking, like, she's just won a marathon. This is her glory moment. And she's come back there to stand there and encourage me. And it still makes me emotional. It was a really, I think it really summed up how runners support each other. And to me, she was this elite, fast, amazing looking gazelle that ran past me, but she had time to come back and encourage me. And I think that is something I found a lot in running that I didn't expect. And I wish that I could impart that to other people who, like me, are scared of being judged, and just to say, look, really, they're the most supportive people you're ever going to be around, is what my experience has been.
And you said, I think you mentioned earlier that running doesn't make you lose weight.
No. You know, if someone had told me that I would be doing these regular running and these long events, and I started this thing, an everyday exercise commitment to myself that I was going to, I kind of started it accidentally. I did a Garmin challenge in the new year that was they set an event every day for 7 days. And I did that challenge. And then I thought, well, I've never done a whole week before. I wonder if I could do a fortnight, and I wonder if I could do a month. And next minute, I was like, oh, well, I might as well keep going and finish the year. And on this New Year's Eve of this year, it'll be 3 years since I've missed a day of exercise. And if you told the old me that I would exercise every day for 3 years and not be skinny, I would never have believed you. I'm a walking, living example of that theory of you know, exercise is 20%, nutrition is 80%, and running isn't going to make you skinny. But I'm absolutely certain that it's made me so much healthier on the inside than I ever was before.
Yes.
So even if my clothing size isn't shrinking, I know that my heart's healthier and my body's
well, and that's really the important thing. I mean,
absolutely.
You can absolutely. Be. And that's the thing. There's the perception among, you know, at least here in the United States, the perception is you have to look like a certain, you have to look a certain way to be healthy, and that's not necessarily those two don't necessarily always go together.
Yeah, there's been the odd occasion where I've felt judged by somebody who has made a big assumption about how fat. Unfit I should be versus how fat I am, and I've thought to myself, you know, I'll go take you on a race and see if I can beat you, like outside indicate inside all the time. And I know plenty of skinny people who are really unhealthy too, so you just
and it's you know, that's and it's just a stereotype that I think that we all it's just kind of there, and even those of us who know better we fall into that, and so
I'd like to be both, and I'm still working and I never give up on trying to be both, but for now it is definitely more important to me.
Well and I can gain, I mean, I can run a lot of miles, and if I don't watch what I eat, I'll gain weight. I mean,
yeah.
And it's just, and I lost weight in 2017, and you know, I 20 pounds, actually 30 pounds that I had been trying to lose for about 15 or 20 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And so 2017, I was a lot of changes in my life, you know, a lot of life transformation. So weight was just one of them. I did a lot of other mindset work. And so I'd lost the weight before I started running. And so, you know, that was what said, okay, I probably can run again without injuring myself. And so, so that's when I started.
Sorry, Karen.
No, go ahead.
There's a huge link in people's mind between weight and running injuries. You know, so often I hear, but what about your knees? And, you know, aren't you ruining, I can't run because my knees are bad, or, you know, how can help? There's a big assumption that if you're overweight, you will get injured when you run. And touch wood, I had a very, very brief shin splint issue and a little bit of plantar fasciitis years ago, but really I've remained injury free this whole, you know, 3-year period. And I think that's just going really slowly building up, which luckily I was really slow. but yeah, you know, you can still run without injuring yourself, despite what people think. So.
Yeah, and I know that now, but I mean, and you know, the running form is such a big part of, you know, if you run correctly, you can run without injuring yourself, and I know people who are carrying a lot more weight than I am that are running injury free, and so but that was my thought when I started, was like, you know, I could probably start running again, and but the thing that happened was a year later, I started slacking off on a little bit on some of my habits, and, you know, Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, and I let some of those foods come back into my life, bumped up about 10 pounds, and then it was like, I'm running a lot, and I gained this weight.
That was
exactly.
And it feels unfair. It definitely feels unfair. You think, I work so hard every day, you know, but
yeah. And so that's just, it's one of those things I have to, you know, the same kind of mindset I have toward my running, I have to have toward food as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think there's a lot of misconceptions among people who don't run. But there are some people who can run and the weight comes off. I mean, just our bodies are all different.
That's right.
And
I think nailing that nutrition is probably the hardest thing, and those people manage to do both amazingly. Mm-hmm. And I wish I was one of those people, but not yet.
So you said you've run a half marathon. You said you've run a marathon as well.
Yeah, I've did 3 half marathons. My average time is about 3.5 hours. So again, I'm slow, but I go. and I did
that
one.
That's a respectable time. I mean, for 3.5 hours. I mean, my pace for 10 miles is about, I count on about 3 hours for 10 miles. So, you know, 3.5 hours for a half marathon. That's that's pretty good.
The one marathon I did was last year. It was a midnight marathon, and so it started at midnight and ran through the night in Brisbane City, around the waterways and under all these big bridges. And it was the reason I chose it. I would never run a 10K event, and I would never run a half marathon, and I would never think about a marathon. So it kind of just, you know, sneaks up on you. You do one and then the next. But the only reason that I even considered the marathon was because ultimately it started at midnight, but there was a second wave of marathoners that started at dawn. So everybody had till 1 p.m. the next afternoon to finish. So I had 13 hours, and I thought, because I would never want to do one and then get swept off the course, or that would be really demoralizing for me. So the fact that I knew that even if I walked, I could do that. And it did take me 8 hours and 50 minutes or something. I had a bit of quite a fall halfway, and that really slowed me down. But so I walked most of the second half of it, but you just one foot in front of the other, and I was determined to finish it. And it was an amazing feeling. And this same race had a 50-kilometer ultra that ran the same way at midnight. So this year I was, had this lofty goal that I was going to go and do the 50, and then COVID happened and it worked out.
But, yeah, a lot of us were disappointed in our plans for this year.
Yeah, but that's still something that I would like to go back and do at that same event, because it had this long time at River Run. It's called in Brisbane. But having done that first marathon over such a long period, I'm strangely excited to do another one, because I think surely I can beat that time, because I walked such a large part of it. So in some ways, having that slow time was really motivating to try another one in future. And I look forward to hopefully doing that next year if the world goes back to normal.
Yeah, and there are some races here in the United States that are opening up. In fact, some of my friends are off this weekend running up in Iowa, trail race that's there. And some races have been canceled. Kind of depends on the venue, kind of, and the race directors. Yeah. I mean, they're. I know some of the race directors have been able to make changes and in the way they do things. Yeah. And even with those changes, wherever the venue was still said, no, you can't do this. Yeah. And so it just really has depended.
Yeah.
Yes. So are you thinking next year then for next year and try for an ultra?
Yes, absolutely. That same race just occurred last weekend, in fact. So they did have it again this year, but like you said, it was different rules. I had to move locations, and it just didn't work for us to be able to get there this year. But my goal is to go back there next year. So this time next year, definitely the marathon, if not maybe the 50, just because why not? That's kind of my opinion of what's one more lap. It was, 10K loops. And given that I finished at, say, 9:00, I think just before 9 o'clock that next morning, I would have had till 1 p.m. to do another lap, and then I can say I did a 50, so why not? So I'll do one or the other next year, but I definitely want to go back, and I want to do some more half marathons, because I enjoy that distance to interval run. The stop-start is something that I feel more doable at a half. Certainly the full marathon was a stretch for me, but, I want to do lots more events. We had lots more planned for this year that, like you said, didn't pan out, but I'll just think of it as a long training for next year.
that's what the year has been for a lot of us. So how did you like running overnight?
I really enjoyed it. Maybe because I'm a night shift nurse, it was, okay. I think I had the upper edge on people. Although everybody else seemed to be able to sleep the day of the marathon, I was so nervous that I couldn't. So by the time I'd finished it, I'd been awake for 2 days, and I was kind of like, seeing noises by that point. But I had some fears just because it was in the city and I was often by myself. I come from a small town, and there was parts of the race that were very sort of isolated in the dark at 3 a.m. But, there was always a runner in the distance coming at some point, and the crew would ride around on bikes and check on us and that. And so in that way, I found the night a little challenging. But again, it was facing fears, and I definitely think it's nice compared to a blazing hot sunny day. 9 hours in the sun might have strained me a lot more than at night time. And the sunrise that next morning was probably the best sunrise of my life.
The sunrise after you've run overnight is a really fun thing to see.
Amazing moment, I think. I still had a couple of hours to go after that, but it was a really, really special sunrise.
Mm-hmm. There's a night race that was sponsored that I did last year, and it was at night, no sun, but the humidity and the temperature was high enough that it was still pretty brutal for those of us who did it.
Yeah.
I enjoy running through the night, and that's just
it's not something that I feel as a woman I can really do, generally speaking, around town and stuff. I just don't feel safe. I'll go out in the dark just before sunrise because the sun's coming, and you know, maybe at 5 a.m. there's not that many people lurking around, whereas I feel at night time people are out drinking and might be lurking around. So I feel sort of kind of sad that myself and a lot of women don't feel safe going out for a night run that looks amazing. And I think lots of me would love it, you know, because I'm in the dark and I can't be seen and it's cooler. It would be great, but it's not something I feel I can do very often. So to be able to do it in that race in a sort of watched environment in that way was really good too. So I wish there was more events like that. That's the only one that I've ever known of overnight. I'm sure there's more, but I just haven't come across it except that one. So it was a great aspect that I liked.
So are there any timed races in your that you run for a certain time that you have available?
Not really. Like, you mean like a distance, like the event?
Well, instead of a distance, that's become a thing in the United States. So that there are time, they call them timed events. And so usually they have like a three hour option, a 6 hour option, a 12 hour option, and a 24 hour option.
Right. No, I've never done anything like that timed. It's always being distance here.
Yeah. And so usually they're looped on a course that's a loop. And the loop, the size of the loop can vary. And, and so then you basically run at your own pace and see how far you can go.
My husband's looking at one that sounds similar. It's a last man standing sort of thing. So you go around the loop.
That's the extreme version of
So yeah, I was going to be the support crew at that run. I wasn't attempting anything so crazy, but yeah.
So yeah, the last man standing, and that's become, I don't know where that started. I don't know if, there's a race called the Barclay Marathons.
That movie. I've watched that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the guy who did Barclay Marathons does Big Dog's Backyard, which is the last man standing. And I don't know if he was the first one, but I mean, he was already famous for the Barclay Marathons. And so that's kind of like, you know, a lot of elite runners will come and try to run that race.
Yeah.
In fact, a woman won last year. She and a man were there at the last 60 hours, I believe. Maggie, I think it was Maggie Goodrell was her name. It was
amazing.
Yeah.
Human bodies are amazing at that level.
Yeah. And that's, there's a one coming up, next month, some guys in our running group are going to go to there. It's in next state over, and, they're going to go and do it. You know, again, it's the last man standing. So who knows how long they'll get to run.
Yeah.
The timed events are the same idea. It runs on some sort of a closed course. You do a number of loops but you run for, you sign up for a time. And so you sign up for however many hours you want to run. And the challenge is it's a personal challenge. How far can I run in 3 hours? Yeah.
Wow, that'd be a different way. I like the idea of that you're going in there knowing exactly how long you're going to do it for, and the distance is up to you within that time. It'd be great. I've never had that chance to do that.
And since it's a looped course, I mean, you can set up your supplies. You know, they have an aid station as well, but you know, you can bring your own food and have an ice cooler. Yep. And have friends sitting there in lawn chairs. You know, that's
a wine or a beer as you go past.
That is actually I have been served beer in the last race I was at.
I've never had that yet. I live in hope that someone hands me a beer when I finish, but I haven't had it happen yet.
Well, this was during the race.
Oh, yeah.
So you said you live in a small town. Do you ever run like off the road, or do you always run on roads?
Always on the road, really. I live on a beachside town, and I'm always on the actual road, on a footpath, or on a path that runs along our beachfront. There is a sort of a local trailish sort of area my husband goes to every single Sunday. He goes out to his trails, and he's taken me a couple of times, and I just don't feel I'm built for trails. I'm scared I'm going to roll an ankle, or I have this romantic image of I just love images of trails that are like a grassy path, sort of dirt path through the forest. I would love, love, love to run in that environment. But the only trails I've seen in real life are like a goat track with boulders and rocks that move up and down these hills. I would break something for sure. So I feel really cheated that I don't have this special trail experience. And at the start of this year, he convinced me to enter my one and only trail race that I did. It was a 10K event. It was also at night. Yep.
Okay.
It was also at night. It, to this day, is the worst run I've ever had in my entire life. It was on my bum, sort of sliding down rock mountains for a long part of it, clawing up like sandy hills. At one point, he got behind and had to push my backside up the hill while I was.
So this was a really extreme, rather extreme.
It was so. This particular section of it that they called the dungeon was the dungeon, all right. And yet these other runners were just looping past me like it was nothing, springing from rock to rock. And that's how he runs this event, because he does it regularly. I did not. I felt very cheated that I'd been encouraged to do this event, because it was horrendous. And he still encourages me to go back to this day. And I'm like, never happening. but next year I am down for a 14K trail event a few hours away from here. And I'm told that it is like grassy hills and stuff and trees and not rock hopping. So I'm actually really looking forward to trying that. Mm-hmm. It's something that just... Oh, the pictures look amazing. I wish we had some of the trails that other people had in our area.
Yeah. This it's trail running can be very, very beautiful, but you know, there's also those trails that are like what you said, the dungeon. And
and I have a mortal fear of spiders. So when he talks about his dawn runs at the trails where they're swiping away these giant webs and that, mm-hmm. not my idea.
From what I've heard, I mean, the spiders in Australia tend to be a little bit more threatening than the ones the weenies. So are the spider webs, are they dangerous if the spider gets on you when you?
Well, these particular ones locally, I don't think they'd be that dangerous. Overnight, they do cross over the trail a lot, so apparently they run through a lot and they are big. So I don't think they'd like make you very sick or whatever if they bite you, but they'd make my heart stop if they landed on me, because I have a really huge fear of spiders. So they may as well be deadly. I don't want to go anywhere near them. But to them, they just brush them off and keep going. So
yeah, the webs. We have spider webs across the trails here too, and that's if you're the second person down the trail and a little bit shorter than the person. And, I mean, you're good. Yeah. but yeah, they can rebuild them quickly. But yeah, it's more annoying. I've talked to a couple of runners who've actually had a spider on them. You know, but most of the time the spiders, when their web gets destroyed, the spiders will drop off. But yeah. But occasionally I've had people say that they've gotten the spider crawling around on their head as they're running.
Well, it would certainly make me run faster, I'll tell you that.
Well, you talk about night runs. I had a headlight on my head, and it was a night trail race, and I was running through the woods by myself, and there was all these glistening, it looked like water droplets, and the light was glistening off these water droplets, and it had been, you know, we'd had rain the time before and it was kind of a little damp. And I'm like, wow, you know, the light on the water is really kind of cool. And then I saw what I would call water droplets, two of them right close together in the middle of the dirt trail. And I went, there's not supposed to be water here. And I bent down and looked, and it was a spider about, you know, that big around. And I realized that
all the others,
like all of these things out there that were glistening in the dark were spider eyes.
Wow. Like,
it was
a hard pass for me. Thanks. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like spiders on me, but I mean, I can admire. And it was like, it was so cool. I mean, it's like, wow, this is really, really. And I tried to show my grandkids, and I realized the only way you can see the reflection of spider eyes is if the light is here. If you walk out in the woods with a flashlight down by your, yep. if you're holding a light down, the reflection, the angle of the reflection, you'll never see them.
Not right.
So now I run with a waist light and I can't see this.
You guys have lots of things to deal with. I see videos of, you know, mountain lions and black bears and snake. I mean, we have snakes, touch wood, I've never crossed them either. We have this awful attacking bird in Australia called a magpie, which likes to swoop and attack us.
I've heard about the magpie attack. So for those of us in the United States, talk about, have you ever been attacked by a magpie?
Oh, absolutely. Before running, I mean, growing up in Australia, they're seasonal. So what it is around this time of year, about 2 months ago up until now, around spring, the magpies are nesting. So when the mother magpie bird has babies in the nest, she will swoop relentlessly against any pedestrian, bike rider, runner, anyone who comes within about a 200, 300 meter radius of her tree or whatever.
Oh my goodness, their territory is much bigger.
Huge, absolutely huge. And they will come, you don't hear them until you hear this flap, 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 and then they'll peck the back of your head, your ears, they draw blood. They're ferocious and they will keep swooping and diving you for hundreds of meters until you're out of their zone. So growing up, that's something, you know, Australian people, we're just like, oh yeah, it's magpie season, watch out. But now as a runner, I actually change my route at this time of year so that we get to know where the magpies are and I won't run past them because I'm too slow. They'd swoop me 100 times before I was out of their zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But we don't have these, you know, lions and all these ferocious animals that you guys seem to have, like, chasing us.
Well, the people who see them, I mean, that you may have seen the mountain lion that was the guy was walking backwards and
the mountain lion was terrifying.
You know, she was terrifying. it was a mom protecting her babies. The mountain lions that actually attack humans are rarer than the news makes them appear. We have, there's been one sighted in the trails where I run. And, in fact, there's we have two names. They call them mountain lions, also called cougars. I don't know if it's in Australia, but another definition for cougar is an older woman who is looking for, looking at, so
chasing
a younger man. So okay, it's an English language thing. So so we have had a race in honor of our cougar, and we call it Mrs. Robinson's Revenge. so we've named, we don't even know if it's a female cougar, but I talked to a man who actually saw the cougar. And I mean, it's not just an urban legend. It was, you know, actually there. But I mean, most of us don't worry about, you know, those types. I mean, watching for snakes is the biggest thing. I mean, there's a couple of kinds of poisonous snakes that tend to, you know, that are in our area.
Yeah.
And so you just have to watch, watch, be careful. And it's just, but there's also non-poisonous varieties as well. And so, sticking to city streets, you only have to deal with magpies then. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. And the odd dog that might be loose or whatever, but I'll take my chances over dogs and magpies over cougars and glistening eyed spiders any day.
Yeah. The spiders would be a hard no for you then, probably.
Yeah, so much so. But that one trail event that I did do with the dungeon and that overnight, we were way at the back of the pack. Like, my husband walked beside me. I run so slow that he just trots along beside me. all that stuff was well cleared out by the 100-odd people in front of us by the time we got through. So I didn't have to have any spider encounters that night, or snakes or any other such thing. So that was something.
Yeah. And that was 10 kilometers.
Yes.
For your first trail run, that's a pretty good distance, you know, especially if it's that difficult.
If I had known how difficult that was going to be, I probably wouldn't have made that choice. But he's adamant that I will go back there one day and conquer that. And I'm still in denial at that point, but you never know. I always say never say never.
Right. Well, and that's the same thing for me. I mean, there's things that I say I'm never going to do, but it's like, I find myself, you know, maybe it wouldn't be that bad if I do it again.
We tend to forget. I did that midnight marathon, I had never even gone for a night run before. Like in the couple of weeks before it, I got a headlamp and just saw if I could run with a headlamp on. It was something I'd never practiced or tried. Or, you know, the first time I did my first half marathon, I was signed up to do the 10Ks. And 3 days before, I was like, why not? Let's upgrade it to half. Let's do a midnight marathon. Let's do a trail race with a dungeon. I mean, I'm sort of one that if I think I can finish something and I'm given a little encouragement, why not? Mm-hmm. You only live once, right?
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? I'll come last. That's the worst that can happen. So be it.
That's actually the sign of when you become you're really arrived at, you know, full on running. You're a real runner. When you're like, well, yeah, how bad can it be? I can do that. That's a sign of like you've been running for a while and you're really in the group. And you're
the time cutoff is definitely my ultimate decider of anything. If it's got a cutoff that I'm not going to finish it, I won't try it because that would be too much for me. I think I'd find that really hard. But if it's a limit that I know that if all else fails, I could walk it and still finish it, then it's fair game.
Yeah. And there are events out that are that way. And
there's definitely more inclusive times than that these days, which is great that, you know, they give these extra times for people to get out there and do it that aren't fast. And yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, I try to keep these to about an hour, so and we're right at that. So, anything else that you would like to say? What is on your looking going forward? I'm hoping that your trail race, you know, the grassy, you know, it's going to be, you know, those grassy fields.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice, beautiful paths for you. Hope that what I have found is that oftentimes my foot will find the one route that is that is still there.
So, I hope that doesn't happen. This particular trail race is called the Lost World Running Festival, so I hope I don't get lost on it or something like that. But I think it'll be the polar opposite of my last trail experience, and for that I'll be grateful.
Yeah, that will be. Yeah. And what happens is that if the trail looks so smooth, I lose focus. And when I lose focus, it's like, then I find that one route.
Yeah. So, and if I fall, I fall pretty hard. So I try to avoid falling at all costs.
Yeah. I think everyone falls hard. It's just,
it's true. You're already going forwards and then all of a sudden you jump down.
Yeah. For those of us who are trail runners, I mean, it's like, we always have our stories about the falls. I mean, it's just, we know that it's going to happen. So, looking forward, you've got that race coming up. What else is on your, like, here's what I'd really love to try to do.
Well, I guess longer term goals is I want to complete a half marathon without the run walk. I want to do a solid, half marathon.
Okay.
Run start to finish. I want to redo that, marathon attempt, although I understand that'd be a bit of running and walking. And one day I want to do that 50. I say I don't want to do 100, never, ever. But I've said that about other things. But, I think for now that's still way, you know, that's out of my league at the moment. But I want to work on, you know, getting better with my parkrun time, getting through that half marathon without breaks and trying another full marathon and just keep doing it. Keep doing it without injury is certainly a goal for me. I don't know if I'll do a fourth year of this everyday exercise thing, but it's kind of hard to stop once you start. So big streak, you don't want to break it. I just want to keep building on what I've got. And even if it's slow and even if I never get fast, as long as I can still go, that's what I think is important for me anyway. Yeah.
So how do you keep that streak going? I'm sure there's days when you've got that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
And I what have you been able to do, you know, with just kind of convincing yourself to keep going?
So what I don't do is I don't run every single day. That's the main thing. I don't think my body could maintain running every day. So it might be a run one day. It might be a run, walk, run the next. It could be a walk day. Other days it'll be like a spin class or an aqua class, or on days that I'm sick or night shift, or, you know, it's got to midnight, 11 o'clock and I haven't done anything yet, I use my indoor bike at home, like an exercise bike. As long as I move my body and sort of break a sweat for half an hour to an hour every day, that's sort of how I fulfill my own requirements to keep my streak going. But so there's been, you know, times over the year, or Christmas Day, you think, oh, you know, got to get on that bike at the end of the night. But it's just, that's my sort of fallback. If all else fails and it's late, or I'm not well enough to go out on the street, or if I'm too tired after night shift, the bike's a great option. But otherwise, I just try to change it up all the time. Some gym stuff, some running stuff, some walking stuff, some strength, just something every day. Yeah. And I think that that's surely got to add up to making me healthier in the long term.
Yeah. So how has that changed your attitude? I mean, what is that, looking back on the way you were, you know, 5-10 years ago versus now, how has that helped you?
Or I think it's just helped exercise to become a lifestyle addition. It's like, you know, you eat breakfast, lunch and dinner every day, you exercise every day. There's just, I often say there's no excuses. I mean, like, I work night shifts. Sometimes I'm really tired and I could use that as an excuse, but I just don't. I don't let myself make excuses. And I think that that's a good example for my kids, that they see that no matter what, you know, mum's out there exercising. And I don't know, I think it gives me a sense of achievement. People say, well, you know, haven't you done enough? You can probably stop now or whatever. But I feel good about it. I'm doing it for me and not for anybody else. And if someone had told me that I would be doing this, I would never have believed them. And so I don't want to give up that feeling of accomplishment of, like, it's just, and I really do it one day at a time. If I have to think about a year's worth of exercise, it's too much. I just do today's exercise, and tomorrow I worry about tomorrow's, and it's worked so far.
And that's amazing. I mean, just because for all of us, I mean, that's the thing I think to encourage other people is to say, you know, just do today. Don't worry about the whole, you know, the whole thing. And I've tended to not do that. And that's why I was so out of shape for most of my life.
Totally same.
Yeah. And so, but once I got that of saying, okay, all I needed to do is a little bit and start those habits of, changing one little thing. And then, you know, that was really the catalyst. And it wasn't, I was looking for a big change in my life, but it was just a lot of little things that I did on a consistent basis. So, well, tell people who are going to see this and hear this, where can they find you, and how can they connect with you if they want to?
So on Facebook, my blog sort of page is Fat25Kilometers, because that was my initial goal. I'm starting fat. I want to run 5 kilometers. And on Instagram, I'm the same one. So Fat25Kilometers. In hindsight, you know, when I write down things like my Instagram name, it comes out Fatto5Kilometers. So, you know, looking back, it wasn't the best name, but I'm stuck with that name now. And a lot of people said, oh, well, you run 5Ks now, you should change your name. But it's still always that same goal for me. And so it hasn't changed. Fat25Kilometers is what it's always going to be, even if I'm running ultras one day. So
find
me on Facebook and Insta.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I hope if you're, you know, seeing this, listening to this as a podcast, you find a lot of inspiration. I mean, I love your page, and that's you encourage me just from the things that you post there on Instagram, and that's usually where I see it is pops up on Instagram, and the stuff that you post is always encouraging, and it always makes me feel good to see your stuff. So I appreciate it. Keep it up. Keep
absolutely
that up.
So,
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as at Ultramarathon Mindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.